Hello and welcome to The Discourse, a short-form one-on-one interview podcast with filmmakers, actors, and other film industry folks, brought to you by The Playlist and hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo. Today, I get swept up in a whirlwind romance by The Idea of You. The film follows a 40-year-old divorcee as she tries to put her life back together when she's suddenly thrust into a romantic relationship with a member of a very, very popular boy band. Obviously, romance and internet rage ensue. The movie stars Anne Hathaway, Nicholas Galitzine, Ella Rubin, Reed Scott, and more. It hits Prime Video on May 2nd. Joining me to discuss the film is writer-director Michael Showalter. I've been a big fan of Michael's for ages, from his sketch days with The State and Stella to Wet Hot American Summer and beyond. He's also established himself in recent years as a really dynamic director, directing films like The Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani, The Eyes of Tammy Faye with Jessica Chastain and Andrew Garfield, The Lovebirds again with Kumail, The Shrink Next Door with Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd, spoiler alert, and much more. We dive headfirst into all things rom-com, of course, and The Idea of You. We talk about the societal standards that are placed upon women of a certain age, which is very much at the core of The Idea of You. We talk Wet Hot American Summer. We talk so much more. Before I shoot you over to our chat, I've got to tell you that The Discourse is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, Bingeworthy, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite shows. Be sure to subscribe and drop us a comment or a rating, as we do very much appreciate it, or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, reviews, interviews, and more. Okay, for our listeners, again, The Idea of You hits Prime Video on May 2nd. Here's my chat with the wonderfully kind and so, so talented Michael Showalter. Michael, how the heck are you, man?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm doing really, really good. I'm a longtime fan of yours, so it's a real pleasure to get to speak with you today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Of course. I was even watching some old episodes of Michael and Michael Have Issues just because I was like,
oh, yes.
Man, I loved it. And I was so sad that it was only like seven episodes or whatever it was.
I know.
So season two is coming soon, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's in the can. We're just waiting for a release date.
Awesome. So since this is The Playlist and we are huge film buffs, I always like to start out with creating a playlist with the people I'm interviewing, which is like 3 to 5 film or TV recommendations. And these can be rom-coms that inspired The Idea of You, or they could be recent favorites, all-time favorites that kind of cracked you open and made you fall in love with things. Anything you want to recommend to our audience.
Okay. I'll try to make it Idea of You themed.
Ooh, I like it.
I think that Notting Hill has to be in there because this movie is very much of an homage to Notting Hill. There's a movie, an Adrian Lyne film called Unfaithful.
Mm.
Unfaithful with Richard Gere and Diane Lane.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's a very sexy movie. That one's in there because it's a sexy movie.
Okay, yep.
But it's also like a real movie. You know, so it's like a sexy movie and a real movie. Almost Famous, just because that's another movie with a great soundtrack. And there's a band within a movie happening there. And I love Cameron Crowe. And Cameron Crowe's made so many movies that are huge influences on me. I will say 16 Candles.
You got to throw John Hughes in there.
I'll throw John Hughes in there because Izzy and her friends are teenagers, but they're cool teenagers that feel like they're of this world.
Yeah.
And that's what I think of what John Hughes movie is. The teenagers in a John Hughes movie are very much, I'm like, that's me. That's me and my friends. That's who we are. And I would like to believe that young people will see Izzy and her friends and feel the same way. And that leaves me with one more movie.
One more slot. Here we go.
Yeah, one more slot. One more slot. Let's go. Before Sunrise.
Ooh.
Richard Linklater.
Yeah.
Because that's really a movie about two people who really meet in an unusual, who sort of would never, ever, really ever have a chance to meet each other. that meet and really get to know each other really well. Kind of something that we're exploring that a little bit too in this film.
Excellent playlist. Excellent. Okay, let's jump right into the idea of you since we're going in with rom-coms, which I thought was great. I'm always kind of leery when reviews or reactions say that, you know, X film is going to bring back the romantic comedy or whatever it is, because I always end up a little disappointed when I hear that. Because I was this sort of closet romantic comedy fan when I was in high school. I wouldn't tell anybody how much I loved romantic comedies, which, you know, I grew up in a time where there were super great ones to kind of dive into. When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle, Pretty Woman, High Fidelity, Clueless, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You, all kinds of like great ones were coming out over and over and over through the years. But more and more became kind of disposable or, you know, overly trite or whatever it was. What they mixed with like an action romantic comedy or a high concept one. And there's excellent ones that you've made, like The Big Sick is an awesome one. The Idea of You definitely sits right up there with it. I'd also like to shout out They Came Together, despite it being more of a parody of rom-coms, but I love that movie. Yeah. But what makes a good rom-com, you know, because these days it's not too crystal clear. It seems like a lot of people go for the plot points, but they don't remember the human characteristics and the heart and all that.
For me, it's about, I think that a lot of romantic comedies that I see that aren't my favorite ones are all about the witty kind of sexy banter between the two characters. But for me, when I see that, I don't feel like they're being real with each other. And so I'm interested in, my favorite romantic comedies are all about getting beneath what's the sort of superficial stuff. And so you talked about When Harry Met Sally, or for me, it would be like Say Anything is one of my favorites. Yeah. Four Weddings and a Funeral, obviously Notting Hill, where like the goal from the filmmaker, at least as I see it, is to peel back the layers of artifice to get at what is real between these two characters. And in doing that, the amazing thing is that then you learn something about yourself. If you're able to accomplish that, you learn something about yourself and your own life and your own truth and the kind of relationships that you want and the kind of person that you want to be. And that's what it was for me. So that's always my goal in writing these stories, is to start with two characters that, as all of us are, we might have our guard up. We're not necessarily showing our cards just yet. And then the fun of it is to see those layers come off to where they are truly being honest with each other, truly getting to know each other, and trying to, and then as from a writing standpoint, it's about being really unwavering about what is that truth? What are those deepest fears that those characters may have? And to get at that, you need to really figure it out. That's not something that just happens easily. You have to really sit with your characters and work on them and really try to dig deep to understand what it is that is really going on for these characters. And then hopefully when you do that, you get at something that can be really special and much more than just two good-looking people being cute and funny and sexy.
And beyond just being a well-made romantic comedy movie, it really like grapples with some interesting concepts like you were talking about. Like the age gap is obviously the hook, but it also becomes the thing that people argue about in and outside of the film or book. And it, as I understand it, you also kind of decided to focus on more of the ramifications that the relationship has more than the book does. Is that something that you consciously were like, we need to kind of stay on this moral argument that people are having throughout the movie?
I mean, it felt interesting, you know, it felt like an interesting and somewhat unexpected turn in the story, is that the obstacle of them being together isn't even them, it's everyone else.
Yeah.
That felt really interesting to me.
And you look at like Leonardo DiCaprio dating, you know, 20-year-olds or whatever, and you go, ah, that's just Leo being Leo. And yet everybody sees this relationship and they're like, how dare she? And, you know, she should get the hell away from him.
Yeah. And it's not fair. Mm-hmm. It's not right. Mm-hmm. And I think this movie goes the extra mile to really say that, you know, we're not just kind of dancing on the outside of it. It's, you really see the toll that it takes on her emotionally, on her family emotionally, on their relationship, the emotional toll of having everybody having an opinion about her private life. And, you know, I think that's another thing, that it's a movie that is about these two people who there's this age gap, but I'd like to think it's a larger point about, like, if two people are consenting adults and want to have a relationship, then everybody should just let them do that.
Yeah.
If it's not hurting you and it's not got anything to do with you, let people live their lives however they want. And so I like the ability that a movie has to, especially a romantic comedy, but other genres as well, to both entertain and intrigue, but also hopefully move the needle forward as to the kind of, like, world we want to live in.
Yeah. What was the line? People don't like women being happy, something to that effect.
Yes. Yes. People don't. Didn't I tell you people hate happy women?
Yeah.
You know, and there's some truth to it. It's like, how dare she flaunt her relationship with this younger guy? How dare she
flaunt?
You know, and it's like you said, you've got these older guys that go from one young girlfriend to another. Now, to be honest with you, the double standard could also be, sometimes it's inappropriate. And that feeling of, isn't that guy too old for her? And there should be, the double standard should be both ways, which is, sometimes it is an issue when someone can feel, there is a sense of, that doesn't feel quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Hayes and Solène in the movie, there's not really, they're only 12 years apart.
Yeah.
Oh no, I take that back. They're about 15 years apart.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
You know, he's in her mid-20s. She's only just turned 40. It's no big deal.
I mean, I think the book came out right as, like, the Harry Styles, Olivia Wilde discourse was coming about. And a lot of people just assumed it was Harry Styles fan fiction. Was there conversation that you guys had behind the scenes about, like, that specific thing that was going on because it was so close to home here?
Yes, but probably a lot less than you'd think.
Yeah.
But yes, of course, you couldn't help but know that there was, like, that this had echoes of that, and that there's a fascination with their relationship and them as public figures. Mm-hmm. But there's many other examples of it that were happening. This was also for me, when we were making the movie, this was when Pete Davidson and Kardashian were running around, and Gabrielle Union, who's a producer on the movie, her husband is Dwayne Wade and he's younger than her. And so it was not unique to Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde. It seemed like something that was kind of in the air, and mm-hmm. and something that felt like a good thing to make a movie about, for the very reason that it would spark conversation, and that it would be something that hopefully people would have strong opinions about.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who have read the book, I won't spoil the ending either way, but let's just say you decided to alter things a bit. A lot of people found, like, the book ending unfulfilling, or maybe just they were upset with the way things left. Were you always planning to kind of change the course of things, or did you kind of shoot a couple options where you're like, maybe we'll do this?
We didn't shoot a couple options there, but I mean, we could have ended the movie where you think there is a moment where the movie could end, and we certainly could have ended it there. By the way, I see your t-shirt. I like your t-shirt.
Hell yeah.
but I think we just wanted it to have a good ending. You know, we just wanted the movie to have a good ending, and ultimately did feel like this was the right ending for the movie for a myriad of reasons. But there was never any, like, this is what we're going to do, this is how it's going to be. It was always, let's be open to it. Let's see how it feels. And definitely did, you know that we had given ourselves the option of the ending that's there now. And ultimately decided that was the best way to end the movie.
And since it's going straight to streaming, I noticed when I screened it and looked at stuff, it was rated R. I was like, that didn't seem like a rated R movie. Did you ever think to fight the rating? Were you like, this isn't a rated R movie?
No, I mean, I've made enough movies now to know there's, like, if you say the F word more than once, it's an R-rated movie.
It is what it is.
And we say it way more than once. And so you immediately know, like, if I want my characters to say the F word more than once, then I'm R. It was kind of a foregone conclusion. The Eyes of Tammy Faye was a movie where we had to fight for the PG-13. We had to make all sorts of little nips and tucks and pruning and clips and things like that to get the movie down to a PG-13. And a lot of it was, you know, she's grinding on him too hard or, you know, whatever. And it's like very, you know, 1950s kind of stuff.
Well, as you saw the t-shirt, I am a massive Wet Hot fan. I have to bring it up at least a little bit. It's been such a journey that thing went on over the years. And I'm sure people bring it up all the time. But, you know, back in high school, it was this comedy that was just passed to me by a friend. And, you know, we were the only people that knew about it and cherished it and recommended it to people because it was unique and hilarious and perfect. Little did I know that was happening all over the country. And it just became this thing that grew and grew. I'm just curious just what that journey was like for you. When did you start knowing that, oh, people like this thing that just, you know, barely got any reception when it was even, I think, didn't Ebert like absolutely rip it to shreds, yeah, that kind of thing?
Yes. Yes. It was a couple years, at least 2 or 3 years after we finished the movie, that there started to be this sort of, hey, you know, college kids are watching the movie, that kind of a thing. As a fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, I never thought, I always think of it as like, well, it'll never be like that. So I never really, I took it very hard that the movie wasn't better received when we first tried to at Sundance. And then later it was something that I took really hard. The reviews, things that were said about it felt, wow, people really didn't understand what we were doing. Yeah. And that really was hard for me to deal with because I didn't think that it was hard to understand what we were doing. I didn't understand that. But it's all, you know, it was great to see the movie find such an audience and become such a kind of cult movie or whatever. On a personal level, it was nice, but like, I've never like made any money off Wet Hot or anything like that. So like, as all that was happening, I was just trying to like have a career and get my life going. And so it was sort of like this really cool thing that was happening that wasn't actually helping me in any way, as selfish of a thing as that is to say. And so it was like really cool, but it was also frustrating because I felt like we've done this thing that people love so much, but it's like not helping me do the next thing that I want to do. And so finding that balance has always been a struggle for me between like being excited that something's been like Michael and Michael have issues or something, being excited that people like it, but then wanting to keep doing it and wanting to be able to keep making stuff. And so it was really nice to be able to go do those 2 seasons of the show on Netflix and kind of like come full circle in that way. Was really nice.
Yeah. As a fan, it was so lovely to see everybody kind of come together, even if it was just edited to seem that way.
Exactly.
Right. And I feel greedy, you know, to even want more. But do you guys have anything in mind where you're like, maybe we could revisit it at this point? Or you just like, do we close the book?
We haven't talked about it in a little while. But, you know, I'm a never say never person. So I'll always have great affection for those characters in that world. And who knows, maybe when we're like in our 70s, we'll do like another season at camp and we're still playing characters in our mid-teens or something like that.
You're finally in your 30s at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are so many like amazing people that came from that. Obviously some were stars already, like Paul Rudd was well on his way to being a big star, but Bradley and Amy Poehler and, you know, David Wayne and all those people that came from it. And you've all had such interesting careers, and especially yours, because you turn to directing and you've made such interesting, unexpected choices along the way where it's like, I'm not just going to be the comedy guy. I'm going to make this. I'm going to make a drama. I'm going to make rom-coms. I'm going to make, you know, I think I saw thrillers upcoming. You're always trying new things. So what draws you to the next thing? What makes it exciting for you?
Just the story, the characters. I do enjoy trying new things. I love all sorts of different genres. As an audience, I love thrillers. I love good horror movie, science fiction, comedy, romance. I like all of it. There's very few genres that there aren't movies in that genre that I haven't loved. Anything, westerns, any of it. I love all of it. So if something comes along and I feel like I have some sense of connection to the characters in the story, then I have a creative urge to want to tell the story, and I see it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of rhyme or rhythm to it, to be really honest. And, you know, a lot of my favorite directors, or some of my favorite directors, worked in many genres and have worked in many genres and told movies in many genres. And so I sort of emulate that to an extent as well.
Right.
And I'm inspired by that, or learn from that.
Yeah, I'm always excited to see what you're doing next. I did see something about a serial killer, like, series that you have coming up. Is that still in the
Happy
hopper?
Face.
Yeah.
Happy Face. Yeah.
What can you tease
gonna
there?
That's going to be a great show. That's going to be a great show with Annalee Ashford, Dennis Quaid.
Ooh.
And that's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
Nice. What else do we have coming up outside of The Idea of You?
Well, I'm actually about this summer going to be shooting a holiday ensemble comedy. Talk about
nice.
another genre.
Christmas movie
the,
kind of thing?
Christmas movie, Family Stone, Home for the Holidays.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And so we're shooting that this summer, and I'm excited about it. Won't be for this Christmas, but next Christmas.
Amazing. Christmas sweaters in July.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Which you also, didn't you shoot The Idea of You down there as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you shot Europe for like Atlanta and all that stuff?
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
That's so good.
Yeah.
They gave me 1 minute, like 5 minutes ago. So I'll stop taking up too much of your time. I'll just say for our listeners,
great
The Idea
talking
of You,
to you, Mike.
Yeah, it was great talking to you too. It hits Prime Video May 2nd. Michael did a wonderful job with it. Thank you very much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.